Right, a few ideas on the Nusach HaTfilah. Okay, one thing I saw, a very nice idea, that on Yom Kippur, in the Musaf, after the Avodah is over, okay, after the Avodah is over in Yom Kippur, let's go to the Musaf.
You muted yourself.
Oh, I'm sorry. So, okay, sorry about that. Okay, thanks, okay. All right, so we're learning together. On Yom Kippur, you have the Musaf. So this is a very nice idea. After you know, the main part of the Musaf Yom Kippur is the Avodah. Amitz Koyach. What do you daven? You daven Nusach Svar Ashkenaz. So you say Amitz Koyach, right? You start with Amitz Koyach. You say. Yeah. So there, you know, there are two versions. When they do the whole avodah, the akoy hanim, the whole avodah of Yom Kippurim. So there's the nusach Ashkenaz and nusach Sfarad. Nusach Sfarad is very simple. It's very, very simple. It's in Hebrew, and it just says very clearly what's going on. It goes through the entire process. The kohen, they bring the kohen, the two seirim. He makes a goyrol. And there's the par, and you know, it goes through the entire process. It's very straightforward. Nusach Ashkenaz, the piyut that is used to describe the Seder Avodah, is very, very complicated. It takes a very, very, no one, I don't think anyone really knows what they're saying. Very, very few people have any idea what they're saying. You have to really spend a lot of time going through the words to understand. It's very elaborate. Okay, so the main parts, you understand that the kohen, you know, there's the soyer and the par, and you know that stuff is straightforward. But the pin is very long. Okay. At the very, very end, after you finish the whole thing, after the whole avoid is over, there's a very beautiful pin. I don't have an article. I have over here a regular machzor. I found here in the shul. There's a very, very beautiful thing at the very, very end. All the way when it's over, let me just turn this over here. It says over here, this tefillah, the yom tov ha-yo'ese koyim gadol l'chol oyavav kishenichnas b'sholem v'yotze b'sholem b'lifega. V'kach ho'ese tefillosa shol koyim gadol b'yom ha-kipurim b'tseisa v'beis kodesh ha-kadoshim B'sholoim b'li pega. And then it says this outstanding tefillah. Yirotzal milfanach Hashem l'chein nevukhev v'sein shetehei ashon hazoy sabo leinu v'al kol amcha b'es Yisrael. Shnas oitzorcho hatoiv tiftach lanu. Shnas oisem. Shnas barocha. Shnas gezeros toivos milfanach. Shnas doga. Tivash v'yitza. Shnas havocha. Shatzlocha v'kayomim. Shnas viud beis mikdash shecha, shnas zoil. Okay, it's a very long, elaborate tefillah that says what the Kohen Gadol would say when after he comes out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You have it, or Blaise? You have it in the Siddur?
I have Birnbaum.
Right. So in the Birnbaum, after the on Musaf and the in the middle of the Chazar Sashatz, After the, you know, the whole thing, yeah, koi hanim. After the very, very, when it's totally finished, then there is this like, you know what Mari Koyin is? They sing Ananananananananai. Mari Mari Koyin. That's the very, very end. Doesn't matter. You have to find the Machsa. So at the very end of the Avodah, there's this beautiful, beautiful part which people don't really even say, they just skip it, they don't really focus on it, and it is a record of the tefillah that the Kohen Gadol said when he survives. If he finishes the avodah and he survives, he was mispalel this prayer. He wrote the yom tov ha-yo'ese Kohen Gadol l'chol oyavav kishnichnas b'shalom v'yotze b'shalom b'lifega. And it goes on. A very long, elaborate prayer. Question is, what's Why do we mention this prayer? Why do we mention it? Why is this prayer recorded? Why is it so important to say this in the middle of Yom Kippur? So it's very simple. The Gemara Masechet Makos says that the mother of the Kohen Gadol would bring food. Now Yom Kippur, you fast. This tefillah is all about food, pretty much. I mean, well, there are a lot of things over here, but the mother of the Kohen Gadol would bring food to the people that were in the Orei Miklat. Anyone that kills someone by accident is obligated to go to the Orei Miklat, and he lives there. And if he steps out of the Orei Miklat, the relative of the person that he accidentally killed can come and kill him. He has to be in the Orei Miklat. Now, when does he go free from the Orei Miklat? He goes free when the Kohen Gadol dies. So what happened? The people in the Orei Miklat, they're in jail. They want to get out. So what do? They daven. They daven to Hashem that the Kohen Gadol should die. Then the spalul to Hashem the Kohen Gadol should die. That way, when the Kohen Gadol dies, they go free. So in order that the Kohen Gadol... who is very upset about this? The mother. It doesn't say that the wife is upset. It doesn't say the children are upset. The only one that's upset that there are people in the Orei Miklat that are praying that the Kohen Gadol should die is the mother of the Kohen Gadol. She's very upset. She doesn't like that people are praying for her son's death. I remember Lahavdil, Elef Alfei Havdolos. I remember on the radio, welcome Mr. and Ms. Glatter. I remember once listening to Rush Limbaugh. So Rush Limbaugh had an audience of 10 million people. 10 million people used to listen to him every single day. I mean, that's incredible. 10 million people to listen to, it's not to be believed. 10 million people on the radio. So he said, he called him his mother, and his mother didn't really know, how many people, how famous he was. So he says, so he calls up his mother. His mother says, how you doing? So he says, great. I have 10 million people who love me. 10 million people. Wow. A mother with such nachas. You have a child. 10 million people. They bow down to you. They love you. But he told... I don't remember exactly what he says, but he says, you know, I also have 10 million people that want to kill me. He was very political. Very, very... He had a lot of enemies. A lot of enemies. All the Democrats. They hated him with such a passion like you can't imagine. So here you have a person, 10 million people, they love me. And tell 10 million people, they want to kill you. So the mother, I don't remember exactly what he said. He was telling me, he calls up his mother, he tells his mother he has 10 million people, they love him, 10 million people hate him. It's interesting, he tells this to his mother. He was married 3 times. He didn't tell that about his wife, what they had to say about him. Okay, he didn't have any children. So whatever, is the one that cares about a person, if he succeeds or is upset, if people don't like him, is a mother. A mother. So the mother here, she has a son who's a Kohen Gadol. The whole Klal Yisrael is looking up to him. Not everyone likes the Kohen Gadol. Any person that is sitting in in the Orei Miklat, any person that killed another person by accident, who's locked up in the Orei Miklat, does not like the Kohen Gadol. They want him to die, subconsciously. Why? Because when the Kohen Gadol dies, they go free. They're released from their prison. So what do? After Mincha, they would say, Shira Malois. Instead of davening for the sick to get better, after Mincha, they would say, Shira Malois, let's daven that the Kohen Gadol should die already. So we can get out of here. We're stuck in this prison in the Orei Miklat. This is what happened. I mean, be realistic. That's what's going on. So the mother doesn't like this. She doesn't like that there are people in the Velt that don't like my son. So what did she do? She made her rounds. She made home-baked cookies. She made muffins, what she made, And she went every day to the Ari Mikvah. She traveled the whole Eretz Yisrael. There were 48 Ari Mikvah. And she would give. She would give goodies, cookies, cake, give goodies, packages, food packages to all the people that were locked up at the Ari Mikvah. Why? So that they shouldn't daven with kavana that her son should die. Once the mother, she gives you some cookies, I'm going to go daven to Hashem that her son should die. Not nice. This old lady, she has a son. She's mate. She gives me cookies. She's so nice to me. She's going to go. I should pray that her son should die. She has such agmas nefesh. It worked. Amazing. It's an amazing thing. It worked. You just give someone a cookie. That's it. That's all you need to do is give someone a cookie that your best friend. You're not going to pray. So the Gemara says, What's going on over here? Does this mean to say that if the mother of the Kohen Gadol would not give a cookie to the people during Miklat, they would take a dog, pray, they would pray that he should die? What kind of prayer is this? The prayer, you can't be mispalel, poshup shot. If the person does not deserve to die, a prayer like this is meaningless. What did the Kohen Gadol do that he deserves to die? He did nothing wrong. So just because there's a bunch of Meshugayim that are praying that he should die, he's going to die? Does it really work like that? No, maybe we'll say he does. Poshup shat, it doesn't. If you don't deserve to die, no matter what someone davens, it's not going to make a difference. So what's pshat? So the Gemara says something that is shocking. The Gemara says he really deserves to die. Why does he deserve to die? Because he should have been mispalel that no one gets killed in Klal Yisrael. He should have been mispalel that a tragedy does not happen. You know, in Meron, 45 people died. It's a shocking thing. So they wrote up about a year before the tragedy of Meron, less than a year, there was a person here in Borough Park. His name was Rav Yecheskel Roth. I don't know if you heard of him. He's a very, very big Pesach. Very world-renowned Pesach, and he's called all over. He lived here in Borough Park. I think it was in Borough Park. He was a Zaken, a very old person, and he died. The year after he died, the tragedy happened in Meron. 45 people. What does one thing have to do with the other? Nothing. I mean, it was discovered later on that every single year he fasted. I don't know exactly when he fasted. Probably maybe Erev Lag BaOmer. He fasted a whole day every single year that no one should get hurt in Meron. I don't know why. I don't know why he had this sensitivity. For some reason, he felt that Meron on Lag BaOmer is a very great danger. Every single year, they wrote his whole life of Kamat. He fasted I don't know exactly when, maybe it was Erev Lag BaOmer, the day before Lag BaOmer. No one should get hurt in Meron. And people didn't I went once. I was there once in Eretz Yisrael, not that long ago, in Meron for Lag BaOmer. I went. It was very interesting experience. And you should know, I didn't appreciate what a danger it was. But I do remember that at one point in time, it was really, really scary. It was one of the hadlokas, and they would sing, they were dancing, and it was like very, very tight, very crushed. And I didn't appreciate how great the sakana was. Look, this last week in Indonesia, 150 people died in a stampede. Exactly, 150 people died in Indonesia. They died. I was once by the Koisel many, many years ago, Shavuos morning, long, very, probably 25 years ago. I was standing by the Koisel. I came there very early, and as it got early in the morning, and the plaza filled up, and then they started davening, and it was mobs of people. I really thought I was going to be crushed. You couldn't move. This is before the day when it wasn't so organized there. It was sakonis nefashis, like Bam Shapachai. He would fast every single year, no one should get hurt by the Meron. The year after he died, this terrible tragedy happened. Listen, I'm not saying who's to say, but it's interesting with this sensitivity that he had. In any event, the Gemara says that the people who are davening in the Ori Mikvah, the Kohen Gadol Shaddai, their tefillos will work because the Kohen Gadol is not innocent. He's guilty. Why is he guilty? Because he should have prayed that the tragedy like this will not happen. And because he failed to daven with enough kavana, that's why the tragedy happened. So the truth is, he is guilty. Because he is the Kohen Gadol, it is his duty to pray for Klal Yisrael that such a tragedy should not happen. And he failed in his mission, in his role, and that's why the tools of these people, in fact, would be effective. Now, that is a Gemara. And that explains why on Yom Kippur, after the Kohen Gadol does the Avoda of Yom HaKippurim, after, right before we say the piyut of Mari Kohen, we have this super duper over the top, out of the ballpark home run, magnificent prayer of the Kohen Gadol. Why? Because that's his job. The job of the Kohen Gadol is not just to do the avoda, to go lifnai v'lifnim and to sprinkle the dam apar and the dam asoyer. That's not his job. That's, yeah, Yom Kippur, the Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol, he sprinkles the dam apar, the dam asoyer, he brings the ketores, lifnai v'lifnim. Yeah, everything centers around the Kohen Gadol in performing the avoidas Yom HaKippur. But the Kohen Gadol has another role. And his role is to pray for Klal Yisrael. V'horaya, if he did not pray for Klal Yisrael, and someone was killed inadvertently, died inadvertently, he's responsible. And the people in the Ori Miklat, the people in the Ori Miklat, those people in the Ori Miklat, if they were to pray that he should die, he would die, because he is guilty. And therefore, it is the duty of the Kohen Gadol, part of his role as a Kohen Gadol, if you're really deserving to go lefnai v'lefnim and do the avod v'klal Yisrael, it's your duty to pray for Klal Yisrael. Therefore, it's with precision. After we finish the Aseder HaAvoda, when it's the first thing that we do when we finish Aseder HaAvoda on Yom HaKippurim is V'yayim ta'if ha'yoyseh Kohen Gadol l'chol oyavav kishen nichnas b'shalom v'yotze b'shalom b'bli pega v'kach hoysa tefilosoy shol Kohen Gadol b'yom HaKippurim b'tseisa m'beis kodesh ha'kodoshim b'shalom b'li pega v'hirotzoy m'lechonech Hashem Elohim v'lechav v'sein sh'tehei ha'shana azos ha'bo leini v'al kol amcho b'yis Yisrael sh'nas oitzorcho ha'toyf tiftach lor. And it goes on and on and on. This, it's not just Stamo, a very nice piyut. He's not a Kohen Gadol if he doesn't say this, if he doesn't daven this. This is what makes his avoida an avoida. The avoida can only be the bezos yavo aron el hakodesh. Are you aron? Are you deserving to be aron? If you don't say this tefillah, play for Klal Yisrael, then he's not the Kohen Gadol. Then he's not a real Kohen Gadol. His avoida is ineffective. This is a necessary chelek of the Seder HaVoida. Okay, so that's why this, and also especially, we have to understand something, is because, you know, in the big picture of things, the Yomim Noiram is Mi Yichyeh U'Mi Yomos, who will live, who will die. And there are people that are somewhere in the middle. And if the Kohen Gadol does not pray for them, then it's almost, he's responsible. Anyone that dies in the coming year, why do they die? Okay, there are certain people, their time has come, but there are people that die, you know, they die accidentally. I don't mean accidentally that someone kills them necessarily, but they die. You know, we don't know how things work in Shemayim, but it could have been, they could have lived longer. And the Kohen Gadol did not pray for them, he's responsible. This is an essential chelik of the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol to mispal for them. Okay, that's one idea. I found that idea to be very interesting. Now let's go to another idea. came across something. If you look in the tefillah, when we say the brachas, there are different brachas. There are different nuschais. Can't remember exactly any of this. Let me just put it in the sefer. On the one hand, we discussed all this last week, I think, I don't remember anymore, that there's a difference between days and years. Now, over here, we have a nusach in the davening, umecholam l'shifte yeshurun b'chol dor v'dor. In one part of the davening, I don't remember exactly where each piece is. You have to go back and find each piece. But in one part of the davening, we say the nusach in every generation, the chol dor v'dor. There's another part of the davening where we say melech mochel v'soleach la'avonoseinu, our sins, v'la'avonos amo beis Yisrael, u'mavir ashmoseinu, and Hashem removes our sins, v'chol shona v'shona. There's a different nusach. Over here, it's every single year. Shana v'shana. Yom Kippur is called a day. It's called Ki Bayoyim Hazeh Yichaper Aleich. In the Haftorah of Yom Kippur, we say a pasuk, Yoyim Yoyim Yidrushum. We focus on the Haftorah on the day. So, if you look, and these are all major things. Ki bayoyim hazeh yichaper aleichem l'taras and kol chata l'seichem l'fnei Hashem titaru. The day. Over here, it says, melech mochel v'sleach l'avoy no'aseinu v'lavoy no'asamo b'yis Yisrael v'mavir ashmo seinu b'chol shana v'shana. Every year. And another part of the davening, we say, u'mocholon l'shifte yishurun b'chol dor v'dor. Okay, so what's the pshat? So you can say many different ideas. You can say that where it mentions the concept of dor vador, that is said by an expression called Shiftei Yeshur, the tribes of Yeshur, where it says, Behol Shona Veshona, it says in reference to the base Yisrael. And when it says about Yoim Yoim Yid Roishun, that you shall seek out Hashem every single day, it's said made by the individual. So it seems over here that there are three different dimensions to Klal Yisrael. There are the individuals, there are the Shiftei Yisrael, which represents Klal Yisrael as one unit. And then there is the destiny of Klal Yisrael, which is called the Shiftei Yeshurun. It's another term, and the term Yeshurun carries with it not just the collection of all of the Shvatim of Klal Yisrael, but rather carries within it the concept of the destiny, time. The time the Klal Yisrael arrived into the world until the end of days. And when it comes to Shiftei Yeshurun, we focus that atonement is given to every step in that process, the whole dor vodor. When we describe Klal Yisrael as a whole, there we focus on the year. And we focus on the individual, there's an emphasis of the day. The day HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he judged every person every single day, whatever that means. So I just make that point is that time, you know, the time is a very powerful principle in Dallas. Time is a very, and there are different dimensions of time. There's time in generations, there's a time principle in years, there's a time element in days, and each one has its unique flavor and purpose. And they all come together on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a time to reflect upon the generation, time to, on the year, and time to reflect upon the actual days. The person has to acknowledge that Yom HaKippurim is just highlighted as a single day to reveal to us, and every single day is critical and important for us to pay attention and achieve and accomplish. Now, how do you know it's every generation? Because Yovel, when is Yovel celebrated? Yovel is always celebrated on Yom Kippur. So Yovel is a celebration of Yom Kippur, and Yovel really represents to a certain degree the principle of a generation. Alright. Let's go now to another idea. Let's go to then this is very interesting. I want to point this out. I don't really know what this means, it just makes just some horos. In the Vidui, if you'll notice in the Vidui, there are many different accounts over here in the Vidui, seven different expressions of confession relating to the peh, to the mouth. There is bitui sifosoyim. It is a collection of holding parts of the Vidui. Bitui means the expression of the sifosoyim, the lips. Then there is the dibur peh, vidui peh, tifshus peh, tumas sifosayim, loshon hara, and siach sifsosayim. Okay, if you go and you study the entire nusach of the vidui, when you go through the whole thing and you start, Elohim Avoseinu, and then you go say Alchei Shechulim Lefanecha Bevidui Peh Alchei Shechulim Lefanecha. Or you go through the entire thing, when you analyze all of the Alcheits, you'll come to note that embedded in all of the Alcheits, you're going to come across seven different expressions relating to sinning with your mouth. The mouth sometimes is called peh, sometimes it's called loshein, and sometimes it's called lips. But they're all relating to the koyach of dibur, of expression. Now, what's the difference between all of these different expressions? So that's a very big task, that's not for now. Over here in this incredible sefer called Aresha Sefaseinu, he goes through over here all the differences between the seven different types of confession that we find in the Vidui relating to the mouth, the Koyach of Dibur. And this, I'll give you a little bit of a taste of what it says over here, is Bitui. What is Bitui? Bitui is basically a nasty, impulsive remark. A person gets upset, someone does something or says something, and you bark. Like a dog, you bark and you say you're good for nothing. You nasty piece of garbage. It's almost like an impulsive, when a person has been wronged or a person is angry at someone who did something foolish or did something evil. So you go to that person and you just say, you good for nothing. I'll leave it to your imagination what people say. It is a form of using your koyach hadibur to bark with nasty nivel peh or nasty insulting word. That's called bitui sifosoi. A bitui means a sharp remark that usually is a reflex. It's a reflex. Someone does something to you, and you bark at him with nasty words. That's called bitui sifosoi. Then there's something called sinning with a dibur peh. What is that? Casual conversation. It's just that's a more of a natural, I guess you would say it would be a premeditated. You know, you go, your person, you know, you premeditate to go speak a lot, to talk to a person, to let a person have it. It's not impulsive. It's you go to a person and say, no, I want to talk to you. You know, you did this wrong, you did that wrong. It's premeditated. It's a premeditated statement. You go to a person, you speak to him, you talk down to him, dibur. Okay? Then bitui is like a bark. Dibur is this thought put into what you want to say. Then there is siach sifsoseinu, idle talk. You're not necessarily, you just like, you're in a state of consciousness. You're not necessarily deliberately trying to hurt a person, say something nasty to a person. It's just casual. You casually, nastiness comes out. And what is vidui peh? So vidui peh, something very interesting, it means insincerity. Vidu, when a person says, I'm sorry. You know, I should have behaved better. I should have done this, should have done that. You go over to your friend, you say to your friend, Mazel Tov. You don't wish him a Mazel Tov. You couldn't care less about him. Insincerity. Achas befev yachas belev. You misvade with your peh. You acknowledge with your peh, Mazel Tov. You say bepeh, oh, I'm so happy for you. You say, oh, you know, I made a mistake. You're right. And the truth is, in your mind, I don't care about you. I'm not happy for you. You don't deserve this. Vidui peh, an insincere statement. Then there's tifshus peh. Okay? Just foolish things. A person doesn't think. You go and you say things that you don't think, and by not thinking, you cause a person a lot of pain. Then there's lashon hara. Lashon hara is when you say something bad to someone else. You say, you don't speak to the person directly, you speak to another party and say, you know the guy across the street? What an idiot he is. So lashon hara typically is when you don't speak directly to the person, you're speaking to somebody else about the person. And then we have tumas sefasayin. I guess you would say that's nidl peh. Okay, so this really is an amazing thing. So I never appreciated this, is that if you look in the vidui, you'll notice there are seven different confessions that relate to the koyach of dibur. One more time. There is the bitui sifosayim. A bitui is an impulsive, reflexive, nasty comment you make out of reflex. Okay, then there's dibur peh. You actually get up, you go to a person, and you say something with thought. Nasty. Siach sifsoseinu is where you're having a casual conversation. And in the conversation, you just threw out some nasty garbage. It wasn't premeditated. It was just, yeah, as you're talking, you just don't think before you speak. Vidui peh, insincerity. That's my favorite one. Tifshus peh is just, you don't think. You don't think. And lashon hara is you speak to someone else, not to the victim. You speak about the victim to someone else. Tumas sefasayim l'chayr is just nivul peh. Okay, very interesting. Three or seven different expressions. Now the end of ni'ilah. The ni'ilah is a very interesting. The nusach is very interesting. The ni'ilah, we ask something new that we only ask for the entire yantif. We ask for in the ilo, we ask for the nechtal me oishet yodeinu. Okay, this is something that we only ask for in the ilo. Okay, we ask in the ilo lahatzil me oishet yodeinu. Now, what exactly does that mean? What exactly is Oshek Yodeinu? Now, Oshek Yodeinu simply means Gezel. Right? The Mabul only happened in the world because of Gezel. And it's interesting that we don't mention this. This is Mamish. It's not part of the Vidu. This kind of Oshek Yodeinu. We mention this at the very end of Ni'ila. V'nechtal, may we cease from Oshek Yodeinu. So it simply means theft, but it means something really, really means extortion. Extortion basically means is where you force a person. What's extortion? Is I'm paying you full price. I'm paying you, you have something I like very much, I want to buy it. How much is it? I want to buy this. How much is it? It's not for sale. This has sentimental value to me. It is not for sale. Get lost. No, I must have this. So if I steal it openly, we'll call the police. We'll put me in jail. So what I'm going to do, I'm not going to steal it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to pay you. I'm going to pay you more than what it's worth. More. It's worth $1 million. I'll give you $2 million. And we're going to write a document. And in the document, you're going to sign the document that you received $2 million. And you've sold it to me. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. If you don't, I'll kill you. Okay, I don't want to get killed. So you go and you sign away. You sign away that I have received $2 million. It's in the bank. The money's in the bank. And I've sold my property to so-and-so. And now I have to leave. And I'm very, very upset. Because even though the money is very, very delicious and valuable and everyone needs money, but I did not want to give up this piece of property. What am I going to do? Call the police? I'll call the police. Will say, well, he has a document. The document says that it's you, that it's his. You sold it to him. You signed the dotted line. He gave you $2 million. You've checked the bank records. And wow, you lucky guy. $2 million, that's double what it's worth. That's still called gezel. That's called oshek. Oshek is when you force a person to relinquish something he does not want, even though he's being paid for it. And at the end of Yom Kippur, we are mispallel that we should not be nichshol in doing this to other people. It's an incredible concept. It's a concept of don't abuse your power. And you know, in our day and age, I don't think there's ever been a time, I shouldn't say that, but you know, these last couple of years, there's been a lot of complaints made about people who have abused their power. People, you know, they're emerging because of COVID, there's emergency powers in play, and people get drunk. They mamish get drunk with power. I was once in a shul, and they were mevaza person. There was a person who was not wearing a mask. This one, no, this during the time when COVID was it was already pretty much almost over. Most people were not wearing masks. But in this shul, the rule was you have to wear a mask. All right, that's the rule. Gesunde Eid came out. Everyone there was wearing a mask. Even though I know as a fact that 90% of the people, or maybe even 95% of the people, were not wearing masks around the corner in another shul. In this shul, they have respect. They have respect. You have to wear a mask. Okay, you have to have respect. It's a private shul. Follow the rules. There was one guy, he didn't follow the rules. Why? I'm not sure if it was an accident, he didn't know, he was walking into a lion's den, or he couldn't care less. And there was a person there who was in charge. I'm telling you, my heart went out. He lashed into him like I never saw. He was mevazim, like such a ritzicha. And it was clear to, I can't tell you for sure, but I think it was clear to almost everyone there, certainly to me, that the person that lashed into him, this had nothing to do with health. Nothing. It was just, I'm in charge. I'm the boss. I have the power here. I have authority here. You mess with me, you're in trouble. It had nothing to do with health. I mean, if it was about health, he should, okay, so you can go call the police, take him out. He's a danger to society. But that's not the way he spoke to him. It was clear as day. This had nothing to do. That's called oshek. That's called, I'm right. Want to go to court? This is a private institution. I have the right. I have the right. You violated the rules. I have the right. Get out of here. You'll win in court. But it was very obvious. This was not about the issue, it was about power. And it's a Musa Hasla because every person to a certain degree has power. Everyone has their space. Everyone has authority over someone else to a certain degree. Okay? Parents over children, people you take care of, people, you know, they receive gifts, they receive a salary. And if you're the boss, you're entitled to demand service. I'm paying you money. But it's a very dangerous slippery slope where sometimes you're the boss, but I'm in charge. I am the authority, but what you're demanding from the person is not part of the job description. It's oshek. You're not gonna fight with me. You're gonna give in to me because you don't want to jeopardize your relationship. You don't want to jeopardize your salary. You don't want to jeopardize whatever is going on. It's not kedai to fight. It's kedai to submit. But the person that's flexing his muscles. Why? Is it for the benefit of the person? Or is it for your own benefit? And every person, they fool ourselves. Give a share. I hold you overtime. Right? So no one's gonna be nasty and just disappear. 8 o'clock. You know, this 8 o'clock, 8 o'clock, the shul, I committed myself to come. You don't want to sign out at 8 o'clock. It's nasty. So you're not gonna do it. But I keep on going. Because I have the power here, because I'm giving the shir. So I'm engaging in oshek. I'm taking advantage of your good midos and abusing you because of a certain imaginary power that I put myself in. That's called oshek yodeinu. And that's something that's very, very sensitive and requires a lot of thought, and that is something that we have to pray for, not to be nitchal miss a terrible other. My boy Sai, thank you very, very much for coming. I wish you all an easy fast and a year of hatzlocha and bracha and nachas and excellent health. And Hashem should give you all everything that you want plus more.
My,
and Lazer, have a wonderful Yom Tov.
Thank you.
A wonderful Yom Tov.
Thank you.
No. Mr. Glatter, have a wonderful Yom Tov. A wonderful year of bracha, good health, and nachas. Heshi Barth, the same to you. Good health, nachas, and bracha.
Thank you. Gamla, triple for you.
Amen. Thank you very much. Be well, Mr. Glatter. Where are you going to be for Yom Tov?
Okay, now it's on. Okay. Hi,
Gemar Chassima Toiva. How are you?
Okay, yeah. Yeah,
the young people
will gonna be here, and then for
the
Sukkot we'll probably go with the kids.
Very nice, very nice.
Yeah, and you're gonna be home?
Yeah, Mir Tashem.